Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of Locked On Kings. I'm your host, Jason Ross. Thank you for finding us, hopefully each and every day here on the Locked On Network. Check out the entirety, though, of the network. Whether you want the latest on your favorite NFL team, Locked On Raiders, Locked On Niners, Locked On anybody in the NFL, and certainly all teams in the NBA, Locked On Jazz, Locked On Heat, Locked On Lakers, Locked On Kings. Right here, we do thank you for finding us. Today, we're going to look at the first opponent for the Sacramento Kings. They'll open up their season Wednesday at home against the Houston Rockets. As the Rockets open up the NBA season Tuesday against the Warriors. Also on Tuesday, you've got Boston and Cleveland. So we'll be doing that in just a moment as we really look forward to the start of another NBA season. So with that said, let's not waste any time. Let's jump into it with the radio and television voice. He does both parts for the Houston Rockets, and that is Craig Ackerman, the voice of the Houston Rockets. And Craig joins us here on Locked On Kings. Craig, it's got to be an exciting time for you, for the organization, for Rockets fans, because this team has been good, and now there are actually some expectations. How are you feeling with some newfound expectations in Houston?
Well, the Rockets were really good last year. Thanks for having me on, first and foremost. I mean, obviously, they won 55 games, hit the third-best regular season record in the league. Unfortunately, their season ended in disappointment, not necessarily losing a series to the Spurs is anything to hang your head down, but the way the season ended last year with what happened in the fourth quarter and overtime in San Antonio in game 5. And then I still don't know what game 6 was, but you know, they had a really good roster last year. That core is back, and they've added, you know, a top 10 talent and a future Hall of Famer in Chris Paul, Luke Bamute, who was just absolutely terrific for the team in the preseason, and PJ Tucker as well, who played really well and really gives this team some additional defensive versatility. So again, on paper, as most people are predicting, the Rockets should have another heck of a season, and we'll just, again, got to see how things go. I mean, the Rockets 2 years ago did come into a season off their Western Conference Finals appearance with a lot of expectations and ended up falling flat and finishing 500, but I don't think that this particular group is wired that same way. I think the Rockets will have another heck of a season.
So you've obviously had a chance to see them in the preseason, and everybody that witnessed the Chris Paul trade or shared their opinions said it makes sense, that they're going to be better. If there was any negative, it would be, how can those two primary ball handlers make it work? You've seen them now, and it's still early in the, you know, these two guys playing together. It looks like it'll work to me, but you're closer to it. What do you think? How do you think that'll play out?
I agree. So far, so good. Now, Chris Paul missed two preseason games, both for precautionary reasons. Bruised his right shoulder, missed the game in New York, and then bumped knees at the end of the game in Memphis and didn't play in the preseason finale against San Antonio, but he was cleared to practice and will be good to go and will be in the starting lineup Tuesday night when the Rockets open up their season at Golden State. But yes, from what I've seen, the two absolutely will be fine coexisting. And look, here's the issue. Look, they're going to play 7 minutes or thereabouts to start the game. They're going to play 7 minutes or thereabouts together to start the second half. And then basically Chris Paul has been the first guy out to start games. So Chris Paul is the guy who comes out. And then at the end of the first quarter, beginning of the second, he comes back in. James sits down, and Chris is then the architect of the Rockets' second unit, which with him on the floor at that second unit, along with Eric Gordon, who was just crazy good in the preseason. I mean, I think that second unit for the Rockets might be a playoff team. I mean, I think this is as deep and talented of a Rockets team as I've ever seen in these parts. And I've been with the organization, you know, over 20 years. But the issue ultimately, I think, is going to come down to the final 5 minutes of games in tight situations. And I think that will be a little bit of a learning process for both of those guys and the staff and the rest of their teammates to figure exactly how that's going to work as the season goes along. But look, this trade doesn't happen if those two guys don't want it to happen. And that's why Chris is here. He wanted to play in Houston. He wanted to play with James and vice versa. And I honestly really don't think there's going to be any issues whatsoever.
Do you have any guess or hunch? Is this a 1 year, let's see how this looks, at least under Chris Paul's mind, or is it, no, this could be where he finishes his career?
I think everybody's hoping that this is a place where he finishes his career. Obviously, he can, you know, choose to walk at the end of the season, but he, you know, he has not given any indication of that. And I think ultimately, you know, he and the organization are committed to one another. And I would, dare I say, unless things go, you know, catastrophically bad this season, I don't foresee a circumstance where Chris isn't back long-term because again, you know, I don't think he's one to bounce around. I mean, he's a family man and he's got young children, and I don't think he's one to just kind of move from place to place to place. And again, he wanted to be here. He wanted to relocate his family to Houston. And again, barring just crazy circumstances, I think ultimately it will be a long-term fit with he and the organization.
So the team DNA, as you known for a couple years, is, I mean, they shoot threes, they shoot them well, high volume, but a lot of makes. That's, I mean, I saw a couple preseason games. Sure doesn't look like that's changing. Is that going to be kind of the same recipe?
No, and it's what it was last year, up a couple of notches. Last year, the Rockets set an NBA record by attempting 46% of their overall shots with threes. That had never been done before in NBA history. They averaged over 40 threes a game on the year. That had never been done in NBA history. And granted, it's just preseason, and one of the games the Rockets played in the preseason was against the Shanghai Sharks. But in five preseason games, the Rockets averaged over 50 attempted threes per game, and 61% of their overall shots came from three. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that this team this season ultimately could average 45 or more threes attempted per game, because again, you've added another one of the league's top premier playmakers in Chris Paul, who shot 41%, a career high last year with the Clippers. So another good shooter there. Luke Bamute is capable of shooting threes from the corners, as is PJ Tucker. And so I think it's conceivable they could average 45 or more threes attempted per game and get above 50% and their overall shots coming from distance. And again, if the preseason was any indication, this team's going to shoot more threes this year than they did last season. Although I do think ultimately in certain situations against certain teams, i.e. the San Antonio Spurs, as we saw in that second round series last year, I do think having Chris Paul on the roster, even though he did not take very many, if any, mid-range shots during his time in the preseason for the Rockets, I do think having him as one of the best mid-range shooters in the game to diversify the offense just a little bit against certain matchups is something the Rockets will need, particularly in the playoffs, depending upon who they play.
Sure. And Craig, you brought up, I mean, obviously Chris Paul is going to get the headlines, but the other new faces that you mentioned in Bamute and Tucker, to me, those guys, not only experience, but they're, for lack of a better, they're tough. And I feel like those kind of additions are subtle, but valuable. Ultimately, where's their role, those two guys going forward for you guys?
Well, the bar is set at Golden State, right? I mean, yep. I think the Warriors are one of the five best teams ever assembled. I mean, their run here could go – they ultimately could go down as the best team in NBA history. I mean, who knows ultimately where this is going to go with them, but all those guys, including Kevin Durant this past summer, seem willing to take a little bit less money to keep those guys together. And I think their roster this year is deeper than it's ever been. And so that's where the bar is set. And I've always thought what is made, in addition to the fact that they have four of the 15 or 20 best players in the league on their roster, what's always set them apart, in addition to all of that, is that they're able to play small ball better. And that's where the game is going. Small ball better than anybody else in the league. And so the Rockets thinking this year, and again, with the addition of Chris Paul as one of the premier playmakers and a future Hall of Fame, because you need talent like that to ultimately compete with the talent that the Warriors have, but was to add other guys who allow you to hopefully match up a little bit better with the Warriors and their small ball. And I think that's one area where PJ Tucker is going to come into play, especially to close out games and in games, particularly against Golden State, to match up with Draymond Green, who gives the Rockets all kinds of issues with him as a matchup problem. Frankly, he does virtually every team in the league who doesn't have Paul Millsap on the roster. And so I think PJ Tucker will give them, you know, at least an opportunity to try to get that matchup a little bit more even. And as you mentioned, he's a tough SOB, and the Rockets need that as well. Luke Bonbute is another guy. Look, we've seen PJ Tucker play the five in the preseason. So he's a guy who, frankly, can defend all five positions on the floor. Luke Bonbute is a guy who can defend all four of the five positions on the floor. And so, and now you have, again, I think the name of the game here is defensive versatility. The Rockets now have a roster, theoretically, that can go out there defensively and switch everything. And I think that's paramount to trying to defend and slow down and ultimately have a prayer of winning a game against the Warriors.
Well, lots of good additions. Is there a name or two that you think the Rockets might miss that's no longer a member of Houston?
Well, I mean, like, I'm a huge fan of Pat Beverly. I mean, I love his attitude. And with all due respect to Pat, I mean, Chris Paul is just a better player. I mean, I Pat was one of my favorite guys on the roster, so I'm gonna miss him personally. But I like this team. I like the addition of Tarik Black as the Rockets' third center. He's basically going to play a platoon with Nene as the backup five. And so on those nights where they give Nene was in his mid-30s time off, Tarik Black, I think it's going to be a very adequate, fill in there. I like this roster. I really do. I mean, I think it ultimately comes down to, as it does with most teams, health. I mean, James and Chris Paul need to stay healthy. Look, the West is going to be tough. And, Pat, like I said, long story short, Pat's the one guy on a personal level I'm going to miss. But I'm really excited about what the Rockets have on paper this year, and really anxious to see how they match up right out of the gates in the opener at Golden State.
How about Ryan Anderson? He's got ties here, obviously, to Sacramento, played his high school ball here, and everything we heard was, the Rockets like him, but if they were interested in Carmelo, he may have to be the one that's moved, and he's kind of always been the one that's been thrown out there, whether that's accurate or not. He knows it's a business, but now that's all gone. He's going to be a Houston Rocket. How did he process all of those rumors?
About as well as I think anybody could. I mean, he came into media day with a smile. I mean, as I understand it, they kind of kept him abreast of things. And after Carmelo was ultimately dealt to Oklahoma City, they did have a conversation with him. And Ryan Anderson is a pro. I mean, he's come in. He understands, as you mentioned, it's a business. I imagine on some level it had to bother him. I mean, why wouldn't? I mean, you would think just because you're human, something like that would bother you. But I know he's happy here. He wants to stay here. He's going to play a pivotal role with this team as a guy who stretches the floor, as well as any four man in the league. I think Ryan needs to get more consistent this season. He was absolutely terrific on the road, did not shoot the ball well at home the entire season. I like to see a little more consistency from him. I think maybe this year with the additions of Bonbute and Tucker, he probably will be on the floor late in tight games because for defensive purposes, but he's going to play a significant role. And honestly, at the end of the day, when Ryan wakes up and he stares at his bank account and paid $20 million a year, I think ultimately all this other stuff will just go by the wayside. He just got married this summer as well. He's living the good life, regardless of whether or not his name was involved in trade rumors over the offseason.
Yeah, that's good to hear. Good for him. So you touched on the Warriors, Craig. I'd just be curious about your, and you see all the other teams, your opinion of the rest of the West. Everybody talks about it, but you guys are one of the best teams, and OKC is definitely intriguing. Spurs are always relevant, but I don't know, kind of how do you see, everybody's chasing the Warriors, as you said. But yeah, where do you see kind of the layout of the rest of the West?
Well, I think the top four, I'm not sure in what order outside of Golden State finishing first, unless they suffer multiple catastrophic injuries in the season, will be the four teams you mentioned, Golden State, Houston, Oklahoma City, San Antonio, in some kind of order. I think ultimately this is the year that Minnesota, after 13 years of not making the playoffs, actually get in. I mean, their roster was upgraded significantly, although I think they're going to have some challenges with that team in the era of pace and space when they really still don't have any guys who are reliable spacing players and can knock down threes. I think at times it's going to get a little bit funky with those guys. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with Memphis. I mean, I think as long as they have, Mike Conley and Marc Gasol, they're going to be a tough out in any given night. I really like Denver. I was really honestly last year rooting for the Nuggets to sneak in as the eighth seed to play Golden State. I'm not saying that they would have beaten them last year, but they had a very intriguing roster.
Yeah, they bother them.
Yes, they do. Absolutely, yeah. They do. And they added Paul Millsap, and they have some guys who can flat out shoot it. Now they have to become better than just terrible defensively. But I think Denver is a playoff team. Portland, I think ultimately is a playoff team as well. Obviously, I don't think Sacramento is going to make the playoffs, but I think that roster is intriguing this season, especially if they continue to give some time for the young guys to develop. New Orleans, I ultimately don't think they're going to make the playoffs. I think on paper, their talent is pretty darn solid, but I think they have a similar issue to Memphis in that and a little bit towards Minnesota too. I'm not exactly sure who's going to space the floor for them. Mm-hmm. And I guess it still remains to be seen whether the Cousins and Davis duo will work. I think they have a ton of talent. I think they've always had a lot of talent, but the pieces there have never seemed to fit together. I mean, it's going to be crazy. I mean, again, I think and honestly, Minnesota, I think five teams are an absolute lock. And I would go with Denver and Portland as well, with a couple of those teams at the bottom, fighting for the eighth seed. But I think the West is as deep and as tough as it's ever been, and that's saying something.
Yeah, the one that kind of intrigues me, not in a way that they're any major threat to that top four that you listed.
Oh, I forgot the Clippers.
That's it. That's the one. I like their front court.
The Clippers. I think they're probably a team that gets in the playoffs. I totally forgot about the Clippers.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
No, that's the one.
No disrespect to the Clippers, yeah.
Yeah, because they're different, obviously losing Chris Paul, but their front court's as good as, with Gallinari and Griffin and Jordan, and then Beverly, as you know, and then just they're different and a little bit deeper, but I think they could bother some teams.
I mean, absolutely. They could bother some teams. I can't believe I'm actually embarrassed that I forgot the Clippers, but I think that speaks to how deep.
Sure.
The West is. There's probably going to be a team or two that thought going into the year they were worthy of making the playoffs in the West that ultimately won't, and they wish they were in the Eastern Conference where they would have been a lock.
Yeah. So when Kings fans show up at the arena on Wednesday night, they should just be used to shooting threes or seeing threes after three after three after three.
Well, yes, and I think you guys saw quite a bit of that in years past.
Oh, unfortunately, Craig. Yes, unfortunately.
I think the Rockets are going to take their record 3-point shooting from a season ago and then a year before that. I think they're going to take it, at least that appears to be the case, to another level this season. I think there's a chance. I think there might be a chance if they get up 60 threes in a game. I think there's a chance they could hit 30 in a game this year. I know that sounds absolutely crazy, but I think they have enough guys on the roster who can shoot it, where I think that's not out of the realm of a possibility. And to be honest with you, the goal of the Rockets this year is to be the best offense in history. And I don't think that's much of a stretch. What they ultimately know they need to be to get to where they want to be is to be a top five defensive team. And I think they have some obviously better defensive personnel, as we've talked about this year, but we'll have to see how that end of the floor ultimately goes as the season goes along.
Well, you better practice finding as many different ways to say made three-pointer. Man, that's going to take some work for you.
Just
scream it.
I mean, right off the bat, when the Rockets played the Thunder in the preseason opener, it was like, wow, this has the makings of a pretty pretty fun season.
Yeah.
They're going to hoist them in crazy record numbers, and I just hope that they can, hit them at a look like last year after Feb 1st, or maybe the middle of January, the Rockets did not shoot the three well at all. The first two and a half months of the season, I mean, they shot lights out from three, and then the schedule in January just got crazy. A lot of tough road games, and the schedule was just bouncing all over the place, and the team got really tired. And frankly, from again middle end of January on to the end, even through the playoffs, they did not shoot the three well at all. So I'm hoping that with some additional depth too, that some of these guys will get a little bit more rest, and with the schedule being stretched out a little bit, that maybe some of that fatigue that I think plagued this team a little bit at the end of last year and into the playoffs, won't rear its ugly head again.
Yeah. Well, we know the records will fall. I think when you guys were at Golden One, you set the record for attempts. Then it was, a few games later for makes, then attempts again and makes. It just, You guys kept breaking your own records, but it's going to be a fun season for sure, Craig. We look forward to seeing you on Wednesday. Good luck to you guys in your season, and thank you so much for joining us.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on, and we'll see you Wednesday. I appreciate the time.
My thanks to Craig Ackerman, the television and radio voice, kind of splits duties there of the Houston Rockets, giving us some great perspective on what the Kings fans can expect in that opening game against Houston. So again, my thanks to Craig Ackerman. Thank you all for listening as well. We're back again tomorrow with another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our four-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our two-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.